Okay, so tonight we're going to continue with our Bible study. We've been looking at Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. And that's the bit of the portion of scripture that's described as the parable of the sower, or the parable of the farmer in newer translations. So today we're looking at the final part. We've been looking at this for over six Fridays now. So this is part seven, and this would be the final part of this parable of the sower. All right, so if you've got your Bibles, you can just please turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. I'll read to give us context again, then I'll just carry on from there. All right, I'm reading the NIV version, or whatever version you've got is fine. And it says, the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered away because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whosoever has ears, let them hear. So we've been looking at the parable of the sower for, like I mentioned earlier, for quite a few weeks now. And when we started, we categorized it into three big headings. We looked at one heading being the farmer. We looked at the seed, which we described as the word of God. And we now looked at the different categories of soil. So today we're looking at the fourth category of soil in the big third section. So we've looked at the other three types of soil. The first one was the soil that's called the wayside or the path. We looked at the soil that's called rocky soil. And we looked at the thorny soil last week. Today we're going to look at the fourth and final type of soil, which is the good soil. And I believe that as we look at this, we'll be able to draw things that will help us to, you know, have fruit in our lives as well from God's perspective. So in terms of the types of soil here, I describe it as the way each of us responds to the word of God and accept the word of God in our lives. Now, the one point I made is that this isn't describing necessarily a type of person. So you can't say this person is a rocky, you know, is a rocky person. This person is a good soil person. I believe these types of soil correspond to different areas of our lives. So in some areas of our lives, we will respond to the word of God very, very well. In those areas, we would have what I would term good soil. There are other areas of our lives that the word of God may not be that clear, so to speak. And in those areas, we might have what we'll describe as a thorny type of soil. So this isn't describing a type of person or an individual. It's describing how an individual, you and I, how we respond to God, God's word in different areas of our life. So that's the big point that I just wanted to make here. All right, so tonight we're looking at the good soil that the Bible describes. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 13, verse 8 again, just to narrow down on that point. And it says here, still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop. Now, another version says where it produced fruit. Another version says where it produced a harvest, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Now, Jesus goes on to describe in Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, what it means when someone in an area of their lives has good soil. And I'll just read Matthew chapter 13, verse 22 here, as Jesus described it. It says, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop or fruit, yielding 160, 30 times what was sown. So Jesus gives us the description of this sower, saying it's someone who understands, who hears the word of God and understands the word of God. Now, I'm just going to zoom in a bit on that word, understands the word of God. Understanding the word of God is not saying that you remember the word of God. Understanding the word of God is not saying that you memorize the word of God, because you can know the Bible. I can know the Bible. We can know different parts of the Bible very well, but it doesn't necessarily mean we understand it. Understanding in the context of the Bible is when what you have heard brings fruit in your life. So if you've heard something about maybe the mind of Christ, or you've heard something about, well, different parts of the Bible, understanding is now when you are able to apply that part of the Bible to your life. So Jesus here is talking about understanding from that perspective. It's not just a mental accent. So, okay, I understand what the Bible is saying there. It says, you know, love your neighbor, so on and so forth. Yes, that's a mental accent. But understanding comes to you when you actually put it into practice to begin to love your neighbor. In that sense, you have really understood the word, and it is now bringing forth fruit in your life. So that's what understanding means in this context. All right, so we're looking at the good soil tonight, the last and the fourth one that Jesus says bears a lot of fruit. And we'll look at three things with regards to this type of soil. And again, I'm saying this type of soil is our response to the word of God in different areas of our lives. We'll look at three things. We'll look at what fruitfulness means in the context of our lives. I know that Jesus is making an analogy here using crop, the farmer, using farming to describe our lives. But what does fruitfulness really mean in the context of our own lives? We'll look at that. The second thing we'll look at is why fruitfulness? Why should we be concerned about being fruitful in the context of God's word? And the third part we'll look at is how can we cultivate our hearts so that in the areas that our hearts or our lives are thorny or wayside-ish with regards to the word of God, we can bring those areas up to the level of having a good soil heart, like the Bible describes here. So we'll look at a number of things that I believe will help us so that we can have good heart, well, this type of good soil in every area of our lives, as the Bible says here. So fruitfulness, what is fruitfulness in the context of our lives? So that's the first thing we're looking at. I'll look at a number of things here, but the first thing I'll say here is, I mean, these are just some things from a fruitfulness perspective. The first thing I'll say here is that fruitfulness includes experiencing the supernatural joy of God. That's one thing that we can receive as the word of God brings forth fruit in our lives. Now, if you look at Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, you will show me the path of life. It says, in your presence is fullness, for fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, I don't think you've seen God before, neither have I, but this is telling us that we can experience joy as if we were right in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we get that? Through the word, being fruitful in that area of our lives, where the word brings this type of joy to us. So we can be fruitful in terms of experiencing the supernatural joy of God. Another area that we can be fruitful in is living in the power of God in an increasing measure. I look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So as we allow the word to bring forth fruit in our lives, the second thing we begin to see is that we are continuously and increasingly able to live by the power of God. So it's not just us struggling through this Christian life, trying to make things happen, grinding our teeth and saying, yes, I'm going to do this. No, as we become more fruitful, and as the word of God brings more fruit in our lives. We will begin to experience a supernatural lifestyle living in the power of God. Why? Because the word is bringing fruit in our lives. So that's the second thing. So the first one we said is we experience supernatural joy. The second one is we are able to live in the power of God increasingly. The third thing is we grow in the knowledge and in the grace of God. And that's 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory now and forever. Amen." So what is growing in the knowledge and in the grace of God? This means that as we allow the word to bring forth fruit in our lives, we will know more about God supernaturally. We'll just begin to know certain things about God. Now, there is a difference between having a knowledge of God or the knowledge about God. Knowledge about God is reading the Bible. You can give the birthplace of Jesus Christ. You know all the major prophets, the minor prophets. You know all the books in the Bible. That is knowledge about. But knowing someone is different. Is when you begin to have a deep sense of knowing God, and you will know that in this particular situation in my life, this is what God says, and it's as if Jesus himself is standing right there in front of you, telling you these things. And what that means is that the more of God we know, the more we know God, not know more of God, the more we know God and we increase in the knowledge of God, the more confidence we'll have in the word of God. So when God says, this is it, we'll just believe that's it. And that comes from being fruitful in the word of God. It comes from the word of God as the seed in our lives and growing in the grace of God as well. Might be, there are things that maybe you used to do, in terms of the spiritual gifts of God, in terms of your knowledge of the word of God, maybe preaching, maybe word of knowledge, all those things, as we increase in the word of God, our ability to do, God flows through us in a more powerful manner. Why? Because we're bringing fruit in that area. Now, the fourth thing is from Romans chapter 8, verse 20. One fruit as well that we receive from the word of God is becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 20 says, "For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." Now, one interesting thing is this. You and I, we need to make a decision to want to be like Christ. But that's just the first step. Something begins to happen to you and I as we read the word of God, and the word of God, we receive the word of God in our hearts, and it begins to bear fruit. As it begins to bear fruit, we will become more and more like Christ automatically. So it's not going to be you per se saying, "Oh, I want to be more like Christ. I want to be more like Christ." So that's the decision that you make. But something begins to happen in you. The word of God begins to change you and I as we allow it to grow in our hearts, and automatically we will be transformed into the image of Christ without even being aware of it sometimes. And why? Why is that? It is the word of God doing that in our lives, not necessarily our own effort. Our own effort is just to make the decision to allow the word of God do these things in our lives. So that happens to us. We become more and more like Christ as we allow the word of God to bear fruit in our lives. And the last thing I want to look at around what fruitfulness means in the context of the word of God here is this. As the word of God brings forth fruit in our lives, we begin to live a victorious life over the devil and over the power of sin. Now, what do I mean over the devil and over the power of sin? Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Luke chapter 10, verse 19 says, "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you." So that's authority over the power of the devil. But for reading this portion of scripture, it might not really, we might understand it, but when we're confronted with situations in life that has to do directly with the devil, now, understanding this, or this being fruitful in our lives, gives us the boldness to stand against the devil and against his cohorts and say, this is what the Bible says, and you're out of here. Now, that comes from the word of God being sown in your heart and bearing fruit. So it goes beyond just the words of the Bible now to something that becomes a reality in your life. The other one that we mentioned here is living a victorious life over the power of sin. And that's Romans chapter 6, verse 14. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. So what we mean when we say a victorious life over the power of sin. Now, I'm not talking about sins with S, S-I-N-S. I'm talking about sin as a force. Do you know that sin is a force? Sin, the force, is what makes people sometimes do certain things. Now, when someone is not a Christian, sin can make a non-Christian, someone who is not a believer, do anything. It can make them just do stuff that they would not necessarily do. But when you become a believer, you become born again. One of the things that God has done is he has broken the power of sin over you and I. But we have to live in the reality of this. And the way it becomes a reality in our lives is as we allow the word of God to take root in our heart. We now realize, look, I don't have to do this. Maybe I have a particular behavior I'm not happy with. I can make the decision and say, I'm not going to do this anymore. And the reason is, I am empowered by the grace of God through the word of God. So we see some of these things that fruitfulness means. So when we're saying the word brings forth fruit in our lives, without making it sound too abstract, these are some of the things that happen. From the word of God, we get supernatural joy, so that irrespective of what's going on in the economy or in society, we're not affected by it. We're calm, we're cool, because we have that supernatural peace from God. We live in the power of God. That's the second thing. The third thing is we grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. The fourth thing is that we become more and more like Christ. And the last one we looked at was we live increasingly in the awareness that we have power over the devil and all his cohorts and over sin. So those are some of the things that fruitfulness represents in the context of this. Now, the second thing is, why fruit? Why should we be concerned about bearing fruit? I know I've mentioned some examples there of what that means. So I'll mention a number of things here. The first thing is this: God wants you and I to enjoy the benefits of our salvation. Jesus died for us. Jesus left heaven and he came to the earth to die for our sins. Now we've accepted the death and the resurrection of Christ and we're born again. God doesn't want it to just stop there and that our only hope would be in heaven. Now, it's fantastic that our hope is in heaven, but he also wants us to live and to enjoy the benefits of the death of his son while we're on earth here. So how do we do this? We begin to enjoy these benefits as we allow the word of God to grow in our lives. And so the summary is this: God wants us to enjoy the benefit of our salvation here on earth. I'll read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. So there are things that Christ has done in your life, in my life, that they're just hanging over us. We're not even aware those things are there. God says he has blessed us with everything he needs to bless us with. Not he is going to bless us. So our journey as believers is becoming into the understanding of what God has done for us. And how do we get there? How do we live in the victory that God has provided? How do we live in the supernatural abundance, the life, the strength, and the power that he has given us? Well, through the word of God, through the knowledge of the word of God. And when I mean knowledge of the word of God, allowing the word of God to grow in our hearts, to bring fruit in our lives, not just having a mental knowledge of it. Now, the other thing as well is this, the second thing about why fruit, and I'll take that from Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. God wants our lives as Christians to demonstrate that he is our God. Now, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The first one we looked at is you as an individual, you experiencing the benefits of salvation. The second one here is that God wants us to demonstrate to the world. He wants us to be a light. He wants us to be a beacon. So when everybody is panicking and they don't know what to do and they're terrified about the future, what's going to happen, God wants us in this context, because we have allowed the fruit of the word to really be embedded in our hearts. He wants people to look at us and say, why are you guys not panicking? Haven't you heard the news? Then they will begin to realize that we're not panicking because God is in us. God has done something in our lives. So God, apart from wanting us to enjoy the benefits of salvation, he also wants people to see us and to know that, yes, there is a God out there. Well, not there is a God out there, that he is God and he's there. And when people see God through us, it points them to him. So your bearing fruit, my bearing fruit, is not just a personal thing alone. God has an investment in you and I. And that investment is that we should be a light to every other person around us, so that we can bring them into salvation, so that they can see that there is hope where everybody sees hopelessness, that there is joy where everybody sees frustration, that there is peace where everybody sees turmoil. And how is that going to happen? Through you and I. And how is that going to happen? It will happen as we allow the word of God to bear fruit in our lives. So when people see the joy, they see the peace that we're experiencing, the hope that we have, then it will point them in God's direction. So God has a vested interest in you and I bearing fruit. So that's the second part. Now, the last thing I want to look at tonight is, how do we cultivate this type of heart? How do we, in every area of our lives, where maybe it's a bit thorny in this area, it's a bit wayside-ish in this area, it's a bit, how do we just align everything and begin to work on ourselves so that we can have a heart that is good, or the soil that is good in this perspective? Now, I'll just mention a number of things here. And the first one is almost like a reminder for us as believers. And I'll read that from Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. And what this is saying is, or the first point I want to make is that for one to experience all these fruits that I'm talking about, to have this good soil, that person must be born again first. Otherwise, forget it. They might exhibit certain things. Someone that is not born again cannot experience the supernatural joy of God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is not in them. They might experience joy here and there, but I'm talking about supernatural joy. Do you understand? Someone that is not born again cannot exercise power over the devil. That someone who is not born again cannot have dominion over the power of sin. Why? Because that's why Christ came. So anyone that is not born again cannot have this good soil. And that's just a reminder for us, because I know that we're born again. And Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So the first thing is that unless one is born again, one cannot bear this fruit that I'm talking about. Do you understand? So the first thing is becoming born again. And that sets you up to experience all the things that I've described here. Now, so that's just like a reminder for us. The second thing is this. In order to begin to bring and align our hearts to the point where it is good soil, we want to do one thing, amongst others. And that is that we want to view the Word of God as God's word. So it's not just reading the Bible as history or as informational, but seeing that every word of God that you read in the Bible that talks to you, that talks to us, we take it as God speaking to us. not as just a story of someone else, or, you know, it's God really speaking to us. So it's receiving the word of God as God's word. Now, I read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, and we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it is actually the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. So Paul was telling the Thessalonians here that when he preached the word of God to them, they didn't just say, well, that's Paul preaching. They didn't just say, oh, that's just, you know, Pastor Benson preaching. Yeah, we've heard that before. No, he said they received it as the word of God from the Bible. And because they did this, Paul said something here. He said, because they did that, the word of God began to work in them. So what this tells me is that if an individual disregards the word of God in an area of their lives, that word of God will not have the opportunity to work in them. Why? Because they've just said, oh, man, that's just some guy, you know, chatting away. So it's revering the word of God and looking at the word of God and saying, this is God's word. I cherish it. I accept it. As we do that, it does something. It begins to work in us. So second thing is that we must see the word of God as the word of God and not just some, you know, word somewhere that someone is just preaching independently, so to speak. Now, the third thing is we must accept the word of God as the final authority, even when we don't understand why. Now, there's a lot of things that the Bible says that you and I might not really understand how it happens. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The Bible says that my sons and my daughters will prophesy. They will see visions. They will see. How do you see vision? How do you prophesy? How does it happen? How do the sick become healed when we lay hands on them? I don't know. It just happens. But we can't give you a scientific explanation of these things. So I'm saying that the third thing is accepting the word of God as the final authority in every area of our lives, even when we don't understand why sometimes. And what that says in, if I read Psalm 119 verse 89, Psalm 119 verse 89 says, forever your word is settled in heaven. That's the King James Version. Luke chapter 5 verse 5. Peter said something, but Peter answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Now, what happened here? Peter had, was an experienced fisherman. And this guy was, that was what they did. That was their trade. And on this particular day, they had been fishing. They didn't catch anything. And Jesus came and preached in his boat. After Jesus finished preaching, Jesus said to Peter, now, cast your net on this side and you will catch a big herd of fish. And Peter must have been looking at Jesus and said, Jesus, I'm not quite sure he said this out loud, I am the expert. I've been fishing. I know everything about the sea. I know this. At this time, there are no fish out there. Might be the same thing. I know what the economy is saying. I know that when the curve is like this, this is what happens. We're in a depression economically, this, that. And Jesus, I'm sure, was just looking at him. The Bible didn't say Jesus responded to him. But Peter did something here. He accepted the word of God as the final authority in this context. And he said, okay, nevertheless, at your word, I don't understand. I'm not quite sure this will work, but because it is your word, I will do it anyway. And as Peter did that, the Bible says something happened. He caught a big herd of fish and he was surprised that, hang on, this is not meant to be so. So what I'm saying here is this, that we accept the word of God as the final authority and we believe that, right? That will help it to grow in our minds, in our hearts. Now, the fourth thing, I have two more things to go, points to make. The fourth thing is trusting the Holy Spirit to teach us the word of God. Now, John chapter 14, verse 26, it says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So the fourth thing is having a reliance on the Holy Spirit. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, that means each time you want to read the Bible, or that you're listening as I am, as I'm speaking, at the back of your mind, you want to ask the Holy Spirit to explain what this really means in your own context. Yes, the Bible might have been talking about David when you're reading it. The Bible might be talking about Paul. The Bible might be talking about someone else. But you're asking that God, okay, fine, I've read this thing, but what does it really mean to me now in my context? The Holy Spirit is the one that does that. So just relying on the Holy Spirit to help us to really apply the Word of God to our context, to teach us the Bible, to open the Bible to us. And the last thing I want to mention here about how do we cultivate this soil or the areas of our lives so that the soil becomes good, as the Bible is referring to this type of seed. The last one is from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 to 8. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 to 8. It says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness. So the last thing we see here is this, maintaining a soft heart towards God and his word. So if the word of God says something, if it says forgive, then you forgive. If it says, you know, do away with this relationship because it's not getting you anywhere, then you don't hang on to it and say, well, if I do away with this relationship, well, like, what's going to happen to me? That's been hardening our hearts towards God. And the Bible says we should not do that. And as we make our hearts tender towards God and say, well, God, you want me to do this. This is a bit difficult for me to do, but help me to do it. That way we don't harden our hearts towards God. So I'm going to end there tonight. And so just to recap the things that I've mentioned around how we can cultivate this type of heart, we've said we should, apart from being born again, which is the first criterion, we should receive the word of God as the word of God, not just someone preaching it. As long as it's based on the Bible, we should see view God's word as the final authority in our lives. We should accept God's word and apply it in our lives, even when it doesn't make too much sense to us. And we should trust the Holy Spirit to teach us God's word. And finally, that we shouldn't harden our hearts. So I'm going to stop there tonight. And that brings us to the end of our parable of the sower. This is the seventh episode, and I'm just going to pray with us tonight.